when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday night. MLS Cup final is set. We can get into it. The Portland Timbers will play NYCFC. Are you into that?
You said Sunday night. When you think of Sunday night,
yeah.
What's the TV show that you still find synonymous with Sunday night, even though it may not even be on the air anymore? What was a Sunday night show that you had to watch?
Two things come to mind. I'm pretty sure The Wonderful World of Disney was a Sunday night thing. Is that right?
Was that a Sunday?
I think that was a Sunday.
Could be. And I think you're right.
Number two, The Simpsons. The Simpsons was Sunday night.
Simpsons was my first.
Yeah.
Simpsons was my first for sure. But I gotta say, to this day, I still associate Sunday with Game of Thrones.
Oh, that was a Sunday thing, wasn't it?
And I think for a lot of people, Sopranos was.
You know, I was always this before my epiphany and before I just gave myself over to the beautiful game, you know, soccer. I watched a lot of Sunday Night Football. That was the thing I watched, Sunday Night Football. I also think there, during my brief period of wrestling fandom, there was a Sunday Night Show as well. I can't remember what it was called, but I think there was a Sunday Night Show. For that Breaking
Probably
Bad,
like Sunday Night SmackDown or something.
I think that, I think it was no. I don't remember when SmackDown. What Thursdays was? SmackDown.
I just put words together, and you're telling me that was real.
SmackDown. Wow. SmackDown was a show for wrestling. You didn't know that, or you just pulled it from the recesses somewhere.
Maybe I pulled it from a recess somewhere, some kind of nook and cranny, like an English muffin somewhere. It was back in there. I don't know.
So look, MLS Cup finalist set. We will talk about that on some level. Certainly the thing that happened to the Union, Jared, like. COVID-19 just took a bat and beat up the field like the mafia taking out, you know, somebody who hasn't paid their debts. The Union get just demolished by COVID-19. There is that. There's also a roster we have to talk about. Are you good with Camp Candy Cane? Is that fine?
Absolutely. And by the way, did you coin that yourself? I saw you use that. You're the first person I saw use it.
I think so. Look. It's possible somebody else somewhere else said it. I just never heard anybody else call it anything.
You know, I'm just going to throw one other one out there because it used to be Camp Cupcake, right?
The January camp was called Camp Cupcake.
Okay, so if we're going to go with the holidays, Camp Fruitcake?
So that was suggested on Twitter when I said Camp Candy Cane, and I am not against it. However, I like the alliteration.
I do like the alliteration. Yeah.
The alliteration is the thing for me. Camp Cupcake, Camp Candy Cane, and it has... Now, cupcake is two syllables. Candy cane is three. So you do kind of stretch it out a little bit. Fruitcake is two. Follows right along. Camp cupcake, camp fruitcake. I get it. We can put it to the people. We can put it to the people and ask, right?
Yeah, I said fruitcake, but I still think candy cane is the better one. And I'm happy to talk about it tonight.
It is the season. We will talk about that roster. We will get into that, so stay tuned. But I think for our purposes, the number one story of the day is that man, Jesse Marsh, being sacked by RB Leipzig.
It was a mutual decision, Jason.
It's always a mutual decision. You know what's also
a
mutual decision?
They mutually decided to part ways, just like me and a bunch of my exes.
I was going to say, it's also a mutual decision when we decide not to have sex, my wife and I. They mutually decided not to do that, you know? 100% every single time. Yep,
I'm on board. Decided to cry in bed.
this was coming for a while. This is not a shock. They have lost three in a row in the Bundesliga, despite a Champions League win against Brugge not that long ago. It hasn't been good there either.
A bolstered roster over last season.
Was it, though? Because I'm not sure that that's the way I would look at it. Here, this can be a couple different things at once. Number one, without pulling any punches, this could be that Jesse Marsh wasn't ready for the job, or that Jesse Marsh didn't have the tools necessary to do the job. It can also be that Red Bull RB Leipzig did not set him up to succeed. That can also be true. Whether or not you go 50-50, 60-40, 70-70, that is kind of up to you. It's kind of more eyes of the beholder than it is absolutely sure. They haven't had a sporting director in 8 months. Somebody to actually call the shots on the Minslav is there, but he's not. It's not like that. He's the right running the full show, the global program. You also have a team that with Julian Nagelsmann turned away from the Red Bull Ralf Rangnick way, the high press game that he brought to the club that has now infected other Red Bull properties and now kind of infected the world's game. Right? They turned away from that sort of high energy press to something different. Mm-hmm. They remade the roster under Julian Nagelsmann to benefit his style of play. And then Julian was like, peace out, Bayern Munich's calling, I gotta go. And they hire a guy whose entire philosophy rests on Ralf Rangnick and high pressure soccer. It, you know, again, did Jesse do a great job? No, clearly not. Was he set up to succeed? I don't think so either. I don't think so.
So I got to pick your poison then for you between between two coaches then.
Oh, okay. Here we go. It's been a little while since Belbib DeVoe made an appearance on this show. It feels wrong that took that long.
It does
long.
Feel wrong.
Yes, go.
National
yes.
team. So if you have to say one of two coaches got done dirty and got and the leash was pulled too, the cord was pulled too soon.
Okay.
Is it Jesse Marsh or Bob Bradley at Swansea? Which American coach overseas maybe got the cord pulled too early?
I think Bob never got a real fair shake, but
the same thing as getting pulled too early, though.
No, I think Bob got fired too soon. Okay. I don't think that this for Jesse, obviously it's a different situation, right? Swansea is not a club that's supposed to go out and win a bunch of games and challenge for top spots and be in the Champions League positions in a top five league. Swansea is supposed to survive, right? Swansea wants to be in the Premier League. And after that, everything else is bonus and rainbows and puppy dogs. Oh, my God, we finished 14th. Let's have a parade through the entirety of Wales. That was the job at Swansea. I don't think, and I understand that also that makes the pressure sort of similar. Like if you lose a game, everything stinks because you lost a game you were supposed to win. I think Bob got fired too soon. I can't say that about Marsh. I can't say that Marsh
said,
got fired too soon.
Bob Bradley did get three more games at his club than Marsh.
Is that really what it was?
Bob Bradley had 11 games as Swansea boss to Marsh's 8, correct? He's 8 for Marsh.
8 in the league, you're saying? Because it would have been more than
Yeah, I guess. Okay, Bob Bradley wasn't playing, I don't think, any other competitions besides the league.
No, he wasn't. And Jesse did have Champions League. And again, it wasn't like they were good there either. And, man, again, I'm fully admitting my bias, okay? I'm holding my hand up and saying I like Jesse Marsh. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a smart guy. I think that he can succeed in the right situation. And so my bias is he didn't get a fair shake completely.
So my apologies. Jesse Marsh's team is an 8. That's why I had that. He had 21 games in charge.
21 games. I mean, well, okay, bunch of games relatively speaking, but 21 games total across all competitions?
Yeah, all competitions, okay. Yes.
Well, so that much, a lot more than Bob then.
Yeah.
Ton more than Bob. 10 more than Bob. So that's why I say Bob is absolutely
got very different expectations, as you said.
Yeah, but and again, I think Jesse can succeed. I also
Let's take this one more as a step further then. Bob Bradley, 11 games in charge of Swansea, gets sacked, comes back to MLS.
Uh-huh.
Very different points in their careers, Bob Bradley and Jesse Marsh, when they get sacked in Europe. Jesse Marsh, younger guy, earlier in his career. Is Jesse Marsh's next move overseas or back here at home?
Look, I don't want to decide. I don't like this thing where we decide for a guy what his best step is.
Oh, yeah, he's going to listen to us.
No. I just mean like it's we don't. There are so many different factors that could be involved here, right? You know, the family stuff and all that.
I was going to go to Manchester United, but Jared on the best soccer show said I should go back to domestics.
Let me say it this way. I would be disappointed if he came back to the United States right now.
I agree.
I would be disappointed. Look, it's obviously not good to have a black mark of getting fired after 21 games at Leipzig on your record. But I think Bob Bradley, because of his time at Salzburg, because his team's punched above their weight there in the Champions League, although this year they're even better in the Champions League, so maybe that doesn't reflect all that well on Jesse Marsh. I think he's built up enough credit within European coaching circles that he could either have the opportunity to coach a team down the table, maybe not necessarily in the Bundesliga. I don't know. I don't know if culturally it works.
You think he gets it? You think he goes to another head coaching position?
I think more likely is that he becomes an assistant somewhere. That's my gut.
Which begs the question, does he follow his mentor again to Manchester United for what is going to be most likely a very short-term gig?
Well, Ragnick says he wants the gig full-time.
I'll show you who doesn't want the gig.
Right, of course.
They're holding out for Zidane if he wants to change his mind at some point.
I think that would be incredibly stupid, but that's just me. Why don't we get into Zidane at Manchester United? If Ragnick's got a spot, even if it's only for 6 months, I think you take that. I think you absolutely take that.
I agree, because I think that's enough time to let the smell dissipate off off you, you know?
What smell? There's a smell? Just more so.
Listen.
You feel respect for the Gegner.
You think my man's necessarily rosy right now?
Oh, like, I mean.
You want to let it settle, let things around you settle a little bit, you know? It's kind of like. Like every movie star, when they get caught, like, I don't know, with kiddie porn or like doing something, they go into rehab because it buys them like 12 weeks of time.
Oh my
when they
God.
Say they're rehabbing their
Where
life.
Where did you go? That is the wildest. What kind
Sorry,
of metaphor
I should have said opioids.
This?
My bad. I should have said opioids.
Why did specifically that? I mean,
oh, my bad. I don't know.
This is why people call Hollywood a den of evil, and you live so close. You're clearly in the sphere of influence. All those people marching with those signs about QAnon and adrenochrome, they're
All
coming
right.
after you, buddy. They're coming after you.
Okay, but I think you're right. He needs to take, I think this, a 6 month gig, you know, at Manchester United, of all places, if it was offered to him. Gets him the chance to lay low a little bit, let it kind of settle down, reset, get a little confidence maybe back with you, especially if Manchester United can put something together right now during this time, and it starts to build your resume again, and then you look for a long-term job come the off-season for the beginning of next
year. Yeah. When things reset again in the summer, you start looking again, and maybe there's something out there. I think that there's probably at least one or two Premier League clubs that if they have openings come the summer, I'm not talking about top four teams, Champions League caliber teams, I'm talking about down the table, who would consider Jesse Marsh, at least to give him a shot. I think he could go a Steven Gerrard kind of route. I mean, I'm not saying the Rangers job is open now, but he could always do that kind of thing. Go coach Rangers or Celtic and then use that as a springboard. I don't know if he's going to get Aston Villa, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that could be a thing for him.
I think Jesse Marsh needs a team that is content to have their style to be the punch above their weight. I think that works well with that pressing style, that charging style.
So
that
that's the thing.
Style.
The pressing style overcomes for some weaknesses in your roster if you don't have top level talent. Yeah. But if you have the better talent, or if you have talent, if you have players that are better suited to playing a lesser energetic game, that's not going to work. Yeah. Is that the kind of style that works with Manchester City or PSG or Bayern Munich?
I would say Wolves. Wolves is probably actually too good right now. But
I think Wolves is the perfect. I think that's a sweet spot. I think Wolves is absolutely a sweet spot for that. I think Everton's a sweet spot for that. But, you know. Do you, right now, is that the, I mean, that job
no,
might be open.
He's not going to go from the Bundesliga to the Premiership
no,
gig.
No, probably
like, or
not.
At least
probably
not a famous
no,
Premiership
no.
gig.
No,
maybe
but
wants to take
but again,
risk.
I think, and I do wonder what his reputation is like inside Germany, right? So he starts his European career after his Red Bull stint in Germany as an assistant under Ragnick at RB Leipzig, excuse me. He then, crashes and burns as their manager. And by the way, I'm trying to go back and find this. And if anybody in the chat remembers this and can find it, apparently at the time that he was hired as Leipzig manager after his period at Salzburg, when Julian Nagelsmann left, and Leipzig, instead of going outside the system, went, oh, we just got a guy here. He's ready to move up a level. Apparently at that time, Jesse was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is the right fit for me, but also with the way that I want to play and the group of players you got.
I'm going to say this. If that story came out in this last couple days, that's his side playing.
No. This is apparently something, it was on the record as having said way back when he got the job. But again, is that a built-in excuse? Is he kind of letting himself off the hook if it doesn't go well, right? Hey, I knew I wasn't going to fit here. Look what happened. because it's harder to succeed to fail than it is to harder to succeed than it is to fail, and therefore if he failed,
does Leipzig go outside the Red Bull lineup now? Is that their only choice now? They got to go outside the Red Bull lineup and grab someone else.
Yeah, probably, but I don't care.
I
care. I care for Tyler Adams' sake, I guess, but I don't care. Because
Tyler Adams catch any side shade in all this? Nah.
I can't. I hope not. That would be ridiculous. All right, let's go to James in Tucson, who wants to jump in on Jesse Marsh and the situation at Leipzig. James, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So with Jesse, I think it's really interesting because as somebody who's, you know, grew up a Red Bulls fan, spent some time around the team covering them in 2018 when he was coaching the team before he departed for Leipzig. To me, what strikes me about Jesse is the fact that he's this manager with so much hype and obviously people rate him for good reason. But what's really interesting about his journey, and I haven't followed him too much at Leipzig. I haven't followed the team much at Leipzig, but I followed him obviously at the Red Bulls. And it's really interesting because, like, he starts out at Montreal. He gets fired after the expansion situation. Then he goes back to school, I believe, spends some time working around MLS, and then he gets hired by the Red Bulls. And he's been in the Red Bull system for all these years. Yeah. And it almost feels like he's been, you know, he's obviously a really educated guy. He's gone to Princeton and whatever. And it feels like his coaching career so far has almost been an education. And he almost,
yeah,
I look at the Red Bulls project, and I mentioned it in the chat earlier, but in 2018, he had a team that was, you know, he had been there for 3 years, and they were right on the precipice of, like, finishing a giant project, and then he leaves. And it makes sense why he left, but he left. And he goes to Leipzig, and it's almost like he stepped away from an opportunity to have a giant accomplishment as a coach, to, like, go back into a coaching education. So he goes to Leipzig, and he spends some time there as an assistant, very much under the radar. Then he goes to Salzburg, and he starts to build up a potential, a profile as a head manager. But then, you know, his big players leave. You know, Haaland leaves in the middle of the season. You know, Taki Minamino leaves for Liverpool. And it's almost like the same situation at Red Bulls, except he didn't leave, his players left. And so all of a sudden, like, there's really no expectation to go anywhere in Europe because his whole team was gutted. And so he wins Austria, obviously. And then he goes back to Leipzig. And, yeah, what you guys mentioned, I totally agree with in terms of, like, it doesn't feel like the next step for him at this point was to take the Leipzig job. I mean, that's a job of, like, a top three team in Germany right now. And I don't think he's really, like he sort of went from, like, MLS coach, assistant learning on the job in Germany, coach in Austria, and then all of a sudden he took a giant, giant job. And I really want to see him. I think the opportunity in Manchester United is interesting. I want to see him take a job. I think it's a perfect situation because I think you spend 6 months with Ralph in Manchester United, and then I think he should go somewhere, like, totally outside the Red Bull system. Go somewhere like Bob, go somewhere like with some of these coaches, and test yourself in a way where you're going to put yourself in a position to see out a project. You're going to be there for 2 years, for 3 years. There's going to be no, like, it's only do what all these other managers are doing, like Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard. Put yourself in that position.
Okay. Well, I don't know that we can compare him. I mentioned Gerrard going, thanks for the call, James. I mentioned Gerrard going to Rangers and getting the Villa job, and Lampard, you know, going through his own educational process. Those guys have that sheen of world famous accomplished player that kind of gives them a little boost. Jesse doesn't have that, which is why I don't think you can pass up. This is the problem for Jesse Marsh, right? If there is one, because he's reached heights no American coach has reached before. You can't take that away from him regardless of what just happened.
Yeah.
You can't say, if Red Bull say, hey, we've got an open assistant job under Ralf Rangnick at Leipzig in the middle of the MLS season, you can't say no to that. You can't be like, nah, you know what? I got to see this thing out. Can you call me in a couple months? I don't think you can. If you want to end up in Europe, if you want that opportunity and that's the path that opens, I mean, saying no would be hard. Then when you're at Salzburg and you're just eating up the league and you're getting to coach Erling Haaland and all these guys, And Leipzig, you finish up and they've got an opening. It just happens to be that the job is there because Nagelsmann left. And they say, yeah, we'd like you to do it, Jesse. You can't be like, you know, I'm not sure. I think I'm going to. That might not come again. That offer might not come again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I also remember, too, like there's only one other blueprint for managing at a high level in Europe. And that's Bob Bradley, who had to do it through the international side.
Bob also was in France, too. You can't forget about that part.
But he was in France. You're right. But there's only really one guy that was out there doing this. So Jesse had to look at that and say, on top of everything else you just said, Jason, he's American.
Yeah, he's American.
He's got that. Yeah. He's got that going against him.
He's
as well.
American. Americans don't know nothing about soccer, football. Sorry.
He's going to have to do more than the average coach to get into the position that he is. And as good as I believe Jesse March is, I'm sure you are too. There's going to be people out there this week saying, "Well, Schultz told you anyone could have won with Haaland on the team." You know, like there's going to be people that are going to say that. Yeah,
sure. You know?
And until he comes up again and does well someplace else, you can't prove him wrong. You can't say they're wrong until he gets his next job and seeing what he does there.
Is the American thing the reason he failed at Leipzig? It's not, but how can you prove that is part of the thing. Like, obviously, look, I do think that even if an American can't achieve based on their pure coaching chops, that there's still going to be this kind of baked in lack of belief in an American coach. They're going to look at you sideways, whether they want to or not. And in Germany, look, the open arms, American players, Steve Cherundolo's a hero in Hanover. We got all this love for Americans. We're happy to have them. But look, no European player who has grown up in those environments is going to look at an American and think, yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. I have complete faith in him. That's probably not fair in some cases, but I think it's just a fact. These are just built-in biases that people have. Can an American overcome that? I don't know, because again, when Jesse got the job, even if his doubts about it were built-in excuses, there were players there who weren't necessarily thrilled with the way he was approaching things. The only thing I'll say about the Ralf Rangnick and going to Manchester United and becoming an assistant and maybe this kind of waiting it out there and building back up, that does nothing for, and look, United's not playing the same way Leipzig did, but that does nothing for expanding Jesse Marsh's philosophical approach to the game. It doesn't. Now, maybe Jesse on his own could try to become more varied than the high-octane, high-press Red Bull system.
He's got to get out of that system and do something else.
But that's what I'm saying. Going to coaching under Rangnick is not going to necessarily give you this new outlook, right?
That's assuming that Rangnick plays a different style of ball outside the Red Bull system.
No, I'm saying it won't give him a new perspective because Rangnick is... Yeah, again, Rangnick's not playing the same way at United that he did at Red Bull. But my point is if you're with that guy and Ralf Rangnick is this guy who really does believe in the press and Jesse Marsh goes and coaches under him at United, he's not getting a new outlook. He's not getting another philosophy to add to his portfolio. And maybe you don't need one if you can find the right place. And I was thinking about Pep Guardiola because his name came up. And we think about Pep Guardiola as he's this incredibly successful coach who has done all these great things. And everybody talks about him like he's the god. Nobody understands soccer better than Pep Guardiola, right? He thinks in 12 dimensions out there. What did Pep Guardiola do? Every single time he got a job with a club.
A high-neck sweater?
That he did that too, and a nice cardigan to go with everything. He went from strength to strength to strength. He made sure that everywhere he was, after he got his initial opportunity at Barcelona, where he was coaching, think about the players he was coaching at Barcelona.
The Barcelona,
the greatest club team any of us has ever seen play.
Yeah.
After he did that, what did he do? Where did he go, Jared? Did he go coach in a team that wasn't
Bayern
sure?
Munich.
Never. Bayern Munich. He went to Bayern freaking Munich. And then after Bayern Munich was over, where did he go?
Man City.
He went to Manchester City, who has more money than anybody.
But that's what you get to do when you have success at the highest level.
No, but what I'm saying is that Jesse Marsh did not have the benefit. I'm not comparing him to Pep Guardiola. I said he could ever be Pep Guardiola. And I do think Pep Guardiola is a remarkable coach. But Pep made sure that his safety net was real strong every single time, right? He always had the benefit of the best talent in every place he coached. Jesse Marsh has never had that. And he never will have that. So it means his degree of difficulty is higher. He goes to Leipzig. Yeah. Even though Leipzig is, you know, an up-and-coming German club that has pushed for things and finished second and been in the Champions League. They haven't won a trophy yet. They're not Bayern Munich. They're not Borussia Dortmund. So
at the same time, we shouldn't just say that all you need is the money and the players, because look at the difference between Frank Lampard and Stanley Tucci. You know, like team, different mentalities. It's really nothing added between those two coaches. It still, at some point, comes down to the coaches.
Yeah,
well.
I do think we also overvalue what a coach does. You can obviously upset the balance morale wise, the chemistry of a team. You can mess that up pretty easily. If you don't mess that up, you know, what impact you have on the field and how a team plays and all of that, I think we overstate it. It doesn't mean it's not important that you don't need a coach.
Yeah.
But I do think we overstate it. But it doesn't matter, because when things go wrong, who gets fired? The players? Nah, the players don't get fired. The coach gets fired. All right. I hope Jesse Marsh lands on his feet. That's all I'm going to say. I mean,
I just hope that he's in play, that by 2022, if 2023, if necessary, U.S. national team can grab him.
I know there's already people out there saying, hey, just fire Greg and give Jesse the job.
Never going to happen.
Not going to happen. You don't want that anyway. I don't think you want that anyway. All right, let's move on to the U.S. men's national team, and let's talk about Camp Candy Cane, which is also possibly Camp Fruitcake, which is also possibly, did I see another one out there somewhere? If anybody's got suggestions, let us know. We'll take it, you know, take a poll here as to where to go with this one. Again, Camp Cupcake is January. This is Camp Candy Cane because it's December. Let's talk about this roster. I'm going to go through it real quick before we get to a call on this. And the phone lines are open for any thoughts on this roster. Knowing what it is, here we go. John Pulskamp, Sporting Kansas City. Gabriel Slonina, Chicago Fire. That's Matt Turner, New England Revolution. Tell me, goalkeeper thoughts, Mr. Dubois.
Everyone wants to see Slonina. But, I mean, you don't bring Matt Turner not to play him. So
why not?
I mean,
it's a January game or a December game against Bosnia. Who cares? Play Slonina. Play him.
Then why bring Turner?
Because he's out of the season already. He's done. He's cooked. His season's over. Why not have him? Why not?
I don't know. Why not bring? Well, I guess you can't bring Sean.
You get one veteran and two kids. I know Turner's not like a super great, like not a long term U.S. men's national team player.
The guy just won a supporter shield. It had his heart broken, and you're going to bring him all the way across to the country to L.A. for nothing?
Hey, that lifted his spirit. And it's L.A. He gets out of New England for a little while. The weather's better. Why not?
I think Slonia just getting the.
I'm sure.
He's
I don't
getting
think
the courtesy look up. He's getting the courtesy look up. He might get 30 minutes or 45 in this, to be honest with you.
Sure,
but,
sure. I don't think he's going to play. I think you're right. I think it's going to be Turner. But it's fun to have all those guys. All right, defenders.
It is fun, man.
George Bello, Justin Che, Jonathan Gomez, Kobe Henry, Henry Kessler, Brooks Lennon, Aaron Long, Kevin Paredes, Brian Reynolds, Austin Trusty, and Walker Zimmerman. Sorry, I got choked up there.
Two things to say about this. One. Yeah. Uh-huh. Is Aaron Long truly going to participate in this camp, or is this just another courtesy bring him in kind of thing?
I think it's mostly reintroduce him to the camp.
I think he'll do some cardio. I think my man's going to do some cardio.
I think he's training. I think he's training,
sure.
But he's not going
to expect
to
see him play minutes. I don't see him play minutes. And then the second thing is, Brian Reynolds is this far away from the starting lineup in Roma.
Right now,
he can come to Camp Candy Cane.
Right now, we are hoping that Brian Reynolds gets loaned in January. It has to happen. It is a disaster for him right now. And it only reinforces.
Go ahead.
It just reinforces that it's very important to make the right choice when you're a kid like that.
It is. But at the same time, I remember when, as American soccer fan, this was the rule, not the exception. Like, you didn't want players to take the big move because you were worried about the not getting time, getting loans. Like, when we think about Pulisic when he went to Chelsea, what we thought about like McKennie, we're starting to break that mold and like, oh, guys can play no matter where they go.
Yeah.
Brian Reynolds reminds us that every once in a while, this is still a fear.
Yeah, look, it's not an indictment of the American system or FC Dallas or maybe even Brian Reynolds, although, you know, who knows? I don't know what he's doing in training and that kind of thing. I think we all kind of saw the writing on the wall when Jose got the job. We were like, okay, that's not going to be good for Brian Reynolds. And here we are, you know, 4 months in, whatever it is. And yeah, it's not good for Brian Reynolds. So he will be in camp with the U.S. men's national team. In terms of, so the things I will take away, Justin Che thought about there was a possibility of moving to Bayern Munich. I don't think he's ready for that. And I think he's inconsistent through FC Dallas this season. Jonathan Gomez is the other name that jumps off the page for everybody, Jared. And Slonina.
I'm surprised he said yes.
So Slonina is a dual national. So is Jonathan Gomez. this does not cap tie or connect Jonathan Gomez to the U.S. national team forever and ever. And,
look, and we don't know if he was offered the spot in the Mexico team or not for this window.
I don't think so, but it's,
well, they did bring in they brought in both Julian Araujo and why am I blanking?
Efrain Alvarez.
Efrain Alvarez. They brought both of them in for this camp.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if Jonathan Gomez was given the opportunity or not.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? He's going to make the move to Spain in January or when he can get registered.
Good on Berhalter getting him in, though.
So he's here. He's a left back at Louisville City, registered right now, but he's going to Real Betis, I think. Midfielders, Kellen Acosta, Cole Bassett, Johnny Cardoso, Christian Roldan, Jackson Yule. Jared, lots of
is
people
Brazil
going.
On break? Is Brazil on break right now?
They might be. That's a good question.
I was surprised by that because, I mean, I know he plays decent minutes down there for them. So to think that he's coming all the way back here, they must be on some kind of break during the winter's portion of the season here. But it doesn't seem like the kind of place where you need to take a break in the
they
winter.
They finish their season this coming weekend.
Okay.
But he would be in camp now. So I don't know what that means. And honestly, I can't tell you that I'm up on his most recent runouts. Like, I don't know how much he's played for Internacional.
So I think the midfield is one of the areas that there's some very key things or interesting things to talk about here because, A, you've got everyone's favorite guy to kick when they're down, Jackson Yule, in this lineup. We're not done. We're not post-Yule. We're not in a post-Yule time period yet.
Everybody wants to put us in a post-Yule world, but we're not quite at a post-Yule world yet. I see what you're saying.
I call it PYT. Post Yule time.
It is Yule time. Yule tide. Yule tide. Yule time.
Yule time.
Is it Yule time or Yule tide?
Yule tide, but I'm saying Yule time, but for my PYT reference.
Okay, but Yule is a thing in Christmas season.
Yeah, the Yule log. Yeah,
right. Okay, so it's Yule time, so you have to call him up. I got it. Okay, got it. It's required. Okay.
So interesting. No Sebastian Lletget.
Okay.
I think everyone would have probably bet on both Roldan and Lletget being there for this roster.
Okay. Well, if you're going to call in Kellen Acosta, you don't need Sebastian Lletget and Christian Roldan. If this is an experimental group, it's a bunch of young guys, you can bring in one veteran.
So is
veteran.
This Berhalter saying that Lletget deserves some time off after a long year, or is this saying like, hey, he's not that close to for working? He didn't play at all in the last window.
His comment about Sebastian Lletget when he announced this roster was he needs a break after a long year. Same thing for Miles Robinson. And by the way,
he went through the loss of his sister in the middle of all this too, you know.
He did. I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why Sebastian Lletget shouldn't be on this roster. I mean,
here he's on the trading block at LA.
There's a lot of things going on, right? And I know he is every US men's national team fan's favorite whipping boy at the moment. It's not just about Sebastian Lletget. It wouldn't have been a disaster if he was on this roster because it's not that kind of roster, but it's fine that he's not there. Absolutely fine.
And there's one name missing here that a lot of people wanted to see, and Jason, you can tell him why it's not here, but Jordi Mihailović.
Jordi Mihailović is, he's in Italy. He's on trial with Bologna, Montreal, shared ownership with the Montreal,
better
CF
to be there
Montreal.
Than here.
Yeah, and Berhalter said as much, that he was leaving as they were dropping this roster, and that Mihailović, you know, I don't know that he's going to get a transfer to Italy, but if he gets a chance, hey, yeah, Georgie would rather be there than playing in a meaningless friendly.
Other guys
in
you might expect to see on this roster, and maybe not so much midfield, but in the forward, it would be someone like Chris Mueller, who's on to Hibernian.
Let me give you the forwards before you jumped ahead to the forwards, man. Damn, son. Taylor Booth, Caden Clark, Cade Cowell, which gives me an excuse to play. Cade's Incorporated, not Kids Incorporated, Cade's Incorporated, Caden Cowell and Caden Clark, Cade Cowell and Caden Clark, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, Ricardo Pepi, Giassi Zardes. All right, now go ahead. Tell me.
So, obviously, two names missing here that were, I mean, Chris Mueller, you shouldn't expect him here. If you were expecting him here, you probably didn't know that he's on his way to Hibernian right now for the Scottish Premier League. And then,
did I expect him there? I didn't expect him
there.
Well,
some people, if you're just thinking about this level of player in MLS.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know I don't think a lot of people know he's going to Scotland.
6 months ago, he signed his contract. So, yeah, I guess we all forgot about it. Okay. Go ahead.
Are you surprised Caden Clark's here and not already on his way to Germany, knowing that he's going there anyway? Or, excuse me, Austria. No, Germany.
Germany. I guess he could be training with them before being registered. I don't exactly know what the plan is for him. I saw something about they're almost ready to maybe give him a shot to be a midseason addition to the roster because of things going bad at Leipzig. Obviously, with Jesse Marsh out, it's, you know, it's a thing. I am I surprised? No, I don't think so. He's still young enough that you can't really be surprised by this. He's not going to walk into the Bundesliga and be a starter. So sure, why not bring him here?
The other name that's a surprise that's not here, Daryl DK. I mean, obviously, I don't think there's anyone to say he hasn't done enough this season to be here. But Berhalter seems to think that the guy needs a rest after playing both MLS's back, loan spell at Burnley, Gold Cup, and MLS season. And I guess he's giving him a rest and not bringing him into this camp, which only is going to allow Ricardo Pepi to potentially further cement his place in it because he's the definite starter.
Yeah, you know, I'm disappointed by this.
I should say, Zardes could get a look instead. I don't know.
It's hard to be like, oh God, he really screwed up. Why isn't DK there? If there's any truth at all to DK just being wrecked physically, then yeah, give him time off. Don't bring him. But I am disappointed. I am disappointed that he's not going to get a chance to show what he can do. I mean, first of all, this camp is not about the game. It's not about Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's not, Jared. This is about all the training time ahead of the game, right? This is about Berhalter getting FaceTime with a batch of players he hasn't really seen before. I know there's some veterans here. I know there's some guys he knows. Yeah. That's the connective tissue. That's the glue that holds the whole thing together. So Daryl DK missing out on 2 weeks of training time ahead of the game, that's the disappointing part. Not playing against Bosnia. I don't think that was going to decide his future. Because we desperately need a center forward, someone to be a backup or to be there alongside Pepe. And
you think there's any chance that any players get added from RSL or Philadelphia Union now that they're available as well?
No, because he said he wasn't calling anybody else in, that this was the roster. The name, if you're going to pick from those two teams, Aaron Herrera is a name that I think a lot of people wanted to see. He's been really good. Kid can hit a cross. Go ahead.
I know he's not starting for Philly, but this is a Paxton Aaronson kind of camp. Like young guys, potential upside.
I mean, he is. I mean, I guess you really can't say, oh, he's too young or he's too inexperienced, because there are some guys in this team who have very little professional experience or are on the same level. I mean, Kobe Henry's playing in the second division and didn't even start that often for Orange County, so he is taking a flyer on some.
You realize by not calling Shaq Moore, and we lost the opportunity to have Kobe and Shaq in this camp.
Yeah, you know, I saw Rob Usry on Twitter say that, or Usry. I don't know how Rob says his name.
Am I not original? Dang it! Yeah, I hate it when I'm not original.
And I groaned at him, so I have to groan at you. I just have to say, you know, that's not.
You just groan because you think Cap Candy Cane is like original.
Yeah, Shaq and Kobe together would have been fun. I'm not going to lie to you about that. All right, we have been keeping Felix in Chicago on hold for a while to talk about the roster. So, Felix, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. Couple thoughts. First, December roster. Actually, I don't know. Jason, I heard you have a radio show.
I do. Hold on, Felix. Felix, before you go on, I got to ask Jared. Jared, do you know that I have a radio show? I'm on the radio.
Oh,
you know that?
Oh, you'd be Chris Wondolowski's show?
WNBC. WNBC.
Oh, man. Yes. You're just jealous that it's Davis and Wando over there. That's what that is.
I'm jealous that you have a handsomer co-host on the other show, and it pisses me off.
And he's a Quake, too. That's got to sting.
That's
just
brutal.
A little. All right, Felix, go ahead, man.
Yeah, so in Bob Bradley's press conference or whatever that he had after the roster was released on Friday, was there anybody who asked why maybe Christian Kappes or more Christian Kappes? That's the one I'm really more curious about, why he wasn't called in. I believe that the Danish season on break right now. Do you know?
You're dropping out on us a little bit there. I'm going to just mute you for a second, Felix. We'll see if we can come back to you. Christian Kappes he was not asked about
because is the Danish league on break right now? Is that why?
I think he was saying the Danish league is on a break or something like that, or done for the year. I don't know.
I mean, what, 3 goals with Bromby, 13 matches? So, I mean,
Goals aren't going to be the thing. You're not going to judge Christian Kappas on goals.
Still,
but
3 goals.
Yeah. I mean, what? Okay, so I guess the question would be, and I'll bring, let me bring Felix back up. Hopefully his connection is good. So Felix, yeah. would you have Christian Kappas over Johnny Cardoso?
No, because actually, channel, I heard him do Christian Kappas actually do an interview, and he actually talked about his true position is actually more of a number 8. So I think of Kappas as more as a backup to McKennie.
Okay.
Because
I think
there's certain positions. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, so the question is, and again, he only brought 5 midfielders, which is also telling, Jared, that there's only 5 midfielders in this roster at all. And there are 11 defenders, 5 midfielders, 7 forwards. So you tell me what the balance of this team is going to look like.
Well, let's be honest. Caden Clark is a midfielder. He's listening to forwards.
No, but he's an attacking midfielder for Red Bulls. And Brendan Aaronson plays midfield for Salzburg. Where does he play for the national team, Jared?
Up front, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know that there's a spot naturally that fits his position he plays with the Red Bulls in the U.S. men's national team for a player like Caden Clark. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there. But so if you're talking about Christian Kappas being an 8, well, Kellen Acosta's here. Think of him as more of a 6. He obviously can play the 8.
That's Christian Roldan's position on this.
Christian Roldan is an 8. Jackson Yule's a 6. Cole Bassett is an 8. Maybe Cole Bassett. You would have Christian Kappas over Cole Bassett, Felix?
I'm not very familiar with that player. I know, I think Kappas he's played some Europa League. I think he played some Champions League, like qualifying stages. He's an interesting player to be to audition as for a backup to McKennie. But I think it's to Cole Bassett.
Felix, I think it's a tough ask to tell a player to come all the way across from Europe back to the United States for a 1-game, 1-week camp. You know, I mean, it makes sense for someone like Brian Reynolds, who's struggling at his club, to get something out of it. But when you have a guy like Kappas that's doing well, let him there. Let him work. Let him keep in what's going on out there. Let him stay immersed in where he's at. If you don't have any concerns about him, I mean, look, I mean, how many players are coming back from Europe here? I mean, just a 1-2? Is there 2? Well,
let's be clear. While Christian Kappas,
it's a response to Jarrett, though. Can I jump in with one comment there? I mean, Jarrett, if you think about it, you know, I don't think any of the 3 of us are spring chickens anymore. If you Kappas is, and you have a shot, and this is all hypothetical, you have a shot. Wouldn't you fly across, basically fly across the other side of the world, if you could maybe really impress the national team coach and get a shot at the World Cup?
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about that. Maybe Christian Kappas values playing for the national team at that level. Maybe he does. Maybe it's his dream. Maybe he's been working for it his entire life. He's 22, by the way. Still got some years, you know, where you can say he's going to play into his prime and maybe have a shot. But maybe Christian Kappas doesn't think about it that way. Or maybe for Christian Kappas, playing in a December camp candy cane against a second-choice, third-choice Bosnia team isn't exactly reaching that dream, and he sees more value in staying at Brøndby for this period.
Or Berhalter, which is part of his job, is to manage the pool, knows he shouldn't bring this guy back. And maybe gives him a call on the side, like, hey, I see you, buddy. I see you. You keep doing what's working out there. I'm going to see you down the road. I'm not going to make you run across the country right now just for this one thing, but I see you.
This is what the one thing I would say to Christian Kappas is don't go on a podcast and talk about the call you had with Greg Berhalter, where you say that he questioned your ability to do certain things and you think you're good at those things. Don't do that.
Luca Della Torre with a good game this weekend.
Don't do that. I liked Luca Della Torre. I want him to be in the national team. I just think that he handled that pretty poorly. I don't think it's going to eliminate him. I don't think Berhalter's the kind of guy that holds grudges over that. And he understands that these guys are young. But just, you know, I think Christian Kappas is a guy who maybe will get his shot. Although, you know, he's not playing at a Champions League top 5 level. He's playing in Denmark for a decent team, and he's got less than 400 minutes so far this year. I mean, if he was starting every single, he's only got 2 starts, 13 matches have played, 2 starts, 3 goals. To me, that doesn't scream has to be in this team. So stay, work your way into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's other guys I think we should be talking about before we get to that point. there might be some other guys. But when we look at this whole roster, we've gone through the whole thing now, Jason. When you look up and down this roster,
yeah,
what's the name that you want to see? Like, what's the name? Like, the one, okay, I want to see what this guy does
on
this,
the field in the game. Is that what you're telling
me? Like,
you're
what's
asking
the name
me?
That's like, okay, I want to see that guy get some minutes and see
you
what
know,
he does.
This might hurt you a little bit.
I have one.
This might hurt. Okay, so I'm going to push Jonathan Gomez to this. I want Jonathan Gomez to play. I want to see what he can do. It was great in the championship, but is it the USL championship? I think the guy I want to see, because he's just so fun and such a bull running through brick walls out there, is Cade Cowell. I want to see Cade Cowell play in this game. He's like jacked, and he's what, 18? He's just got this energy about him.
Dude,
I love
is
it.
Like, dude is AC Slater. Like on a field, like he's built
that's
like
exactly
AC Slater.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the same kind of like jock mentality.
You know what?
You know that dude's pants kids in the locker room.
He's AC Slater, but for a modern age, because AC Slater's family turned their back on soccer because that would label them as the immigrant family, and he doesn't want to be that. So AC Slater decided to pick it up.
He's actually got a little bit of. Do you remember the redhead Max from Stranger Things? Her older brother that has the Camaro or like the Trans Am.
Yeah.
That dude.
Yes.
He's got that kind of energy.
He does. The guy who was the lifeguard in the last...
Yes,
that kid.
Yes.
He does have that energy. You're absolutely right.
He's definitely got that energy. For me...
Are you saying that there are middle-aged women eyeballing Cade Cowell? Is that what you're telling
me
right now?
Have you seen the guy? I haven't even seen him with a shirt off. I can tell you they're looking at him, man. That dude's got more cougars around him. I don't know what that is.
He's cougar meat. That's what he is. Straight up cougar meat.
So I agree with you. I think it's a fun look. The only problem is if you're playing Cade Cowell and you're starting, I mean, if he's in the starting lineup, you're probably playing him wide.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
You have to. Yeah. Which means, let's just, again, this is such an experimental lineup or a roster, and it's so wild. Let's go through. I haven't even thought about this yet.
I'm excited about. Like,
oh, yeah,
I don't
sorry.
Get to say who.
I'm sorry.
I get excited about things too.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. No.
Okay. For me,
yeah.
The player I want to see kind of get unleashed in this game, just because I've enjoyed watching his season this year, is Kevin Paredes.
Okay.
I think that's a fun player. Like, I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if he's worthy of starting necessarily, but yeah. I want to see him. He's fun when he's on the field, man. He's like a little, like, he reminds me of Tayshaun Buchanan Jr., you know?
Okay.
Like, I think he's got the ability to kind of do that kind of thing. And
yeah.
I want to see what that guy could do with some minutes.
Yeah. Kevin Paredes flying the flag for Dominican soccer players. That's not a thing that happens a lot. Dominicans don't necessarily play a lot of soccer. So let's see if Kevin Paredes can do this is what I was thinking. So we've named Paredes. I'm named Cowell. We mentioned Joko. Do you want to go through and pick like your ideal, what the hell, throw some shit up against the wall lineup and see, you know, it could be effectively it'll be like a U20 team almost, U21 team if we pick it the way that I think it's going to go.
Okay. Yeah, we can do a little bit of that. Okay. Let me see here.
So we both agree on Slonina and goal. If we're going to do it this
if
way.
If we want to have a fun lineup.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I think it's going to be Turner, though. I think it's going to be Turner. You want to do, okay, let's do a straight up fun lineup.
This is the Christmas
meme
season.
Meme lineup.
This is Candy King, Camp Candy King. We're not, this is all dream. This is like the boyfriend materializes.
I'm writing a list of Santa, a wish list to Santa. That's what this is.
If this was a Netflix Christmas movie, what lineup would you choose? That's what I'm asking you.
Cameron.
Okay. That's MAGA Candace Cameron to you. Let's go ahead.
I think it's her brother. I don't think it's so much her, but I don't know. Okay.
Okay. Let's see.
All right. Let's see here. So, okay. If we're doing Christmas list, it's Salonia in goal.
Salonia in goal. Okay.
Jonathan Gomez, left back.
Absolutely. 100%.
And then it's Che and.
Yep.
And Zimmerman.
Zimmerman? Okay.
I know Zimmerman is not necessarily
under
the Christmas tree, unwrapped big gift.
I think you're wrong. I think it's Che and Kessler. I think it's Kessler that
Che and Kessler is the fun one. But here's the thing. I don't think you learn as much about Che if he's got Kessler next to him.
Why are you being so pragmatic?
I don't know why.
Logical.
I don't know. You're right. You're right. It's absolutely Kessler and Che. It's Kessler and Che.
Look, dude,
can't wait for Kessler to throw the ball away from a ball boy.
We're gorging on the candy and the chocolates and everything else. This, you know what this is like? This is like going to the chocolate advent calendar and eating all of them before you get there when you were a kid. Like, you didn't know any better. You open up all the doors, eat all the chocolates, yes. And your mom's like, what are you doing? That's what we're doing. Che and Kessler is the way to go. Okay.
Right back's where I'm struggling. Okay.
Well, I think it's Paredes isn't the guy. I think it's Paredes, right? Well,
it's Paredes, yeah. I think the thing about Paredes, I think he can play midfield as well, but he's not going to be in a midfield of a three-man midfield, you know? So
no.
I'll say right back for Paredes. Midfield is Cole Bassett. You can't have a sexy midfield without Cole Bassett right now.
Cole Bassett and it's
and then
Cardoso.
It gets super unsexy. Like, it gets super unsexy real quick in the midfield, dude.
That's Johnny Soccer over there. You can play Johnny Soccer. Why not?
Okay. Then Roldan, I guess.
I guess it's Roldan.
I mean, Roldan's the equivalent of under your Christmas tree getting like a science set. Instead of Voltron, like you got a microscope.
You know, I don't think I threw it out. I still have one of those, like, grow the rocks, like the crystals thing that my kid opened.
Tumbler. You got a rock tumbler.
Yeah.
But that's Berhalter's fault for not putting the right things on the shelves for us to buy.
It kind of feels like this is a three-man back line with some wingbacks in it, because Paredes can play as a wingback.
I mean, you could sneak Taylor Booth into the midfield if you wanted to.
Yes, you could do that. I mean, again, listed where he is kind of odd for some people.
Screw that. Christian Roldan's on the bench. We're going big, right? We're going fun time.
Okay.
We're putting Caden Clark in the top of that three man midfield.
Ah, that's the way to go. Yeah. Okay. So are you going to get both? But you're going to get both of them on the field. We're going to get both of them on the field, right? All right.
You have to. Okay. So on the left side,
yeah,
I think I would put. I want to see Jesus Ferreira out there.
Okay. Okay. Again, false nine-ish, but also maybe wing in this situation.
Yep,
sure.
Yep. Because you got Jonathan Gomez down the sideline, so you don't have to have Ferreira like wide too much.
Oh, he can push inside. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So I get closer to Pepe. Then you got Pepe. You're not going to take Pepe out of a sexy fun time lineup.
No, you're not doing that.
And then yet. you go K-Cal on the right, and you let the mullet flow.
I like this. This is the Polar Express of U.S. men's national team lineups. I mean, we're just leaning into it. There's what...
We need a Stranger Things drop. That dude has to say something iconic that we can drop in here for
maybe.
K-Cal.
So that means if we've moved Caden Clark into midfield and we got Cole Bassett there, and what was the other thing, the other move on that? Was
unfortunately Johnny Cardoso.
Johnny Cardoso. Okay, still, he's not a guy we know a lot about. I think combined, there's like three caps in this team that we've just picked. I think that's the situation.
I think Pepe is the cap leader in that.
Oh my God!
Potentially,
yeah, six caps he would be. Let me go through this.
Who would have the most caps in that?
Hold on, look, you add them up. You do the math. Ready?
Cardoso has a couple sneaky caps.
Slonina has zero caps. So you add that to Jonathan Gomez, who has zero caps, to Justin Che, who has zero caps. Henry Kessler has one cap. So if we're going Kessler, he's got a cap. Paredes has zero caps if we're going to play him in that position. Cole Bassett has zero caps. Johnny Cardoso has two caps. Those are the sneaky caps you talked about. So we're up to what? Three caps? Are we up to three caps total? Yes.
Yeah.
Then Caden Clark is a zero caps. Cade Cowell, zero caps.
Sexy.
Ricardo Pepi, six caps. Out. He's got more caps than everybody else.
More than everyone else could. Captain Ricardo Pepi.
This is what you do it. This is how you do it. It's like I said, it's like a U21 team. That's what it is. And why not? Why not? Like, it's something.
Jossie Zardes with 14 caps. No, Kellen Acosta is 44.
No. Jossie Zardes has 65 caps.
Sorry, 65. So would he have more than everyone combined? No, because of Kellen Acosta's messing up the curve.
Yeah,
and Aaron Long's got a bunch too.
Here's the thing: got 21.
If we really wanted to have like fictional fun time, we would put Aaron Long in the lineup, right? Just to have him back,
just to see what he looks like out there. Maybe I don't know. I still think just go
I'm
young
happy with the meme lineup, though.
Just go young. Yeah, it's very memey. Yeah, yeah. And then
so virginic.
And then Luca Della Torre flies in on a private jet the last second, gets in the field. I guess on the field as well. And just again, it's a Christmas miracle. That's what that's going to be. All right. Do you want to spare some time for the MLS Cup playoffs? I know you don't care anymore.
I want to pour one out for the Philly Union.
Ah, man. Is it unfair? Is that the way to look at it? Because, I mean, after the game, Jim Curtin's basically like, I don't know. They're all fine. Why couldn't they play?
Because you put rules out there and then you can't just like not do them, then you lose the rules, lose all their integrity. You know,
are we
like,
following rules as a society at this point? I mean, I'm trying to. I'm masked up even indoors when I go shopping and stuff. But I know that's not everybody's bag. I got boosted up. I'm feeling.
But if you don't, then think how many teams this season played without a player that they could have just played. You know, like if you want to change it going into next season, then you change it going into next season.
Yeah.
But you can't go and just because you want, everyone wants the union to have their full complement out there. I think most people probably wanted them to win the game, if we're being honest with you, because it's such a good story.
Yeah.
But I here's the thing about what Philadelphia had in front of them today. What, 9 players were unavailable?
11 players. 11 players, including 6 or 7 starters, depending on how you look at it.
And the better team in the first 45. No way about it. Better team in the first 45. And what I think happens,
Neither
team was great.
No, but they just really kind of just stuck a wedge in the works and made sure.
I'm gonna
it
say better
turn.
Because they were having to do so much more with so much less, you know. Okay. And I still think they were the better of the two teams with as many changes as they made. And what I think ended up happening here is that it took everything they had emotionally to get to the 63rd minute. Then the own goal happens, and it's like, oh, we did it. Yeah. And there's a letdown in that moment. And because you have a lot of young players, you have a lot of guys that haven't been playing a lot, you know, and I'll tell you, it's like, I know that ball was knuckling, but I think Freeze has to do a better job on that save. He's got to push it out wider. It goes right back down to the 6-yard box to a player's feet. I don't know, man. I think that it took everything.
But here's the point, right? I mean, this is the thing that we're talking about. What do you expect out of Matt Freeze, who is the backup goalkeeper to one of the best goalkeepers in the league? Matt Freeze, who played 506 minutes of MLS this season, right? How do you?
But that's plenty of minutes previous. I mean, other stints. You know, he's played the most minutes.
He's played some minutes. I'm not saying he's completely inexperienced, but he's not sharp. Like he's not a guy who like comes into this game feeling great. He helped them win the Supporters Shield last year because Blake was out with, I think, COVID protocols, if I remember correctly. He did do that. And he played in some big moments, but this was, and again, with the team in front of him, with that group in front of him, without both of his center backs, right?
I didn't know Aurelien Collin was still a thing.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Let me look through this lineup real quick, because I want to give you a sense of this. I think, so again, 6 or 7 starters, depending on how you look at it. So you had Matt Freeze in goal. Both center backs were replacements. And Baiso is a regular. He made the mistake that led to the winner.
Dude.
Was it the winner or the first goal? It was the first goal, baby? No, it was the winner. It was the winner.
That dude made a Thanksgiving meal out of that ball. That is one of the most difficult ways I've ever seen for a player to lose a game. He either got to get it before it bounces or take care of it. That was a weird, weird, bad bit of decision making on his part.
So you didn't have Kai Wagner. He was one of the players who was out. So Harry L, who is a homegrown player who I think had something like 180 minutes all year long. 180 minutes of soccer starts as your left back. Leon Flock, that's a starter. Martinez, that's a starter. Jack McGlynn is a good young player who's played a lot of minutes.
On the rise.
Still young, still relatively inexperienced. Yep. Jamiro Montero, you don't have a problem with him in your lineup. Gazdag, okay, he's been inconsistent, but that's still a guy you paid a lot of money for.
He played the previous game.
And then Shabilko, who can't buy a goal. I mean, he got one, kind of, on the own goal, helped set it up, but he couldn't buy a goal before that. So again, Finley's one of the center backs. You're talking about three or four starters here who have, 1,200 minutes together combined on the season.
I mean, Curtin did what he had to do. I mean, literally, he's missing his 3 best defensive players. And how often do you see a Christmas tree lineup anymore? That's what they ran out today. They ran out a Christmas tree lineup because they knew defensively they were going to be leaky if they didn't take care of it.
In midfield. They absolutely needed all of them in midfield, 100%.
And they still almost stole the dang game, you know?
They did. They did. And like I said, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the way that happened. It's the biggest moment, possibly. I know they played a Champions League game and everything else, but the biggest moment in Union franchise history after being, you know, after building to this. And I said this on the radio today. What I hope that this doesn't cause is some sort of slow disintegration of the identity of the Union, right? I don't know that that can happen from one thing, but you have this story that FC Cincinnati's chasing after Jim Curtin.
He came out and said he ain't going.
I know he did, and that's the right thing to do, but he was bitter today. He was bitter not just about the COVID protocols and losing 11 players. He was bitter about money and the money that's spent. He said specifically, Talis Magno comes off the bench and scores the winning goal. He said, they have a $10 million player on the bench. We don't have anything close to that. That's our whole salary budget.
But you're the Philadelphia Union. You've made your name on not needing the $10 million. Your identity is having Biglin out there to bring on the field.
But if you're the head coach of that team, you may take pride in having Biglin on the field and bringing Fontana in and Aronson to try to win the game or get level. But you don't want to have to do that. You want the big gun in the holster ready to fire if you need it. You want that. He doesn't have it, and he's clearly frustrated by the fact that he doesn't have it.
So I think losing this game and seeing those players that playing the Philly Union's identity of any player in our system is ready to play for this team.
Yeah.
That got tested tonight, and they almost pulled it off.
Yeah,
and I think that is the type of thing that if you're a true Union fan, you leave tonight sad, but full of knowing, we have a certain thing that we're about, and they can't take that from us.
You can definitely comfort yourself with all of those warm and fuzzy feelings about your academy producing young players and your team believing, that is going to, it's just like winning an MLS Cup trophy, right, Jared? It's the same exact thing. What are you guys talking about? Don't be upset with the way this happened. Don't be mad.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be upset, but I just think that's a cool thing that they were able to play into their identity and almost pull it off at one of the larger rosters.
But here's the thing, and Robert is saying this, and look, I think it's cool to be a Union fan and be able to go on this ride and watch the academy develop these players and send Brennan Aronson and Mark McKenzie on and bring through get new names and be excited about them and to have a local connection. I think that's great. But Philadelphia is a big market. That's like the fifth largest market in the country. That's not supposed to be they're so plucky. They go and do whatever they can with it. They rub two pennies together to put their soccer team up. It shouldn't be like that, dude. It should be Philadelphia is a monster in Major League Soccer. And they're not. They're not a monster.
True, but Jim Curtin's doing what he has to do with what he has. And that dude is killing it.
No, it's not his fault. Not his fault. No, it's not.
And I'll say this too. In terms of New York City FC, Alfredo Morelos is one of the best bits of business any team did in leading into this season. That guy has been under the radar, really, really good for that team, and especially in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, that is a really, really good pickup that they made there.
Yeah, this is the other thing. And this, is, again, comes back to this. For the Union to win that game, I mean, today to win that game with that group, they had to be perfect. But even if they had every one of their first-choice players there, their margin for error is smaller than NYCFC's. And I know it's MLS and there's parity, but it's still smaller because Ronnie Dyla can look down his bench and he can say, Ishmael Tuzuri Shradi, I need you. Talis Magno, I need you.
That's cool and all, but Castellanos not on the field is a huge difference for them. I mean, if you look at the beautiful combination passing that they tore up New England with, you didn't see that tonight with Castellanos not on the field.
I understand. They are a different team. They don't play as effectively together without Castellanos. He is important in that way. But they still have weapons that are MLS proven who can go score goals or young talent that cost $10 million. Whereas the Union are like, especially today, again, Sobilko was it. Corey Burke couldn't play. Sergio Santos couldn't play. They didn't have some 19-year-old kid coming out of the academy they could plug in there. So, what are you going to do? All right, Western Conference final. Portland Timbers beat RSL. Not necessarily like ho-hum, no surprise, because RSL was a great story, but you did see the better team win that game, and they did it without Blanco and Espria, so you give them credit for that.
But, dude, what kind of, every troll on Twitter was loving that the ball went off the back of David Ochoa. I mean, it went off the back of Ochoa and into the goal,
so
right?
So I'm wrestling with my personal appreciation of David Ochoa, who he is, what he's doing.
I love having that guy in the league. He's like having Alan Gordon and remember Daniel Hernandez? I love Daniel Hernandez, like back in the day, just bulldog.
I remember Daniel Hernandez. Yeah.
Good for a quote. I love, there's not enough of those guys in the league anymore.
Yeah, Stephen Linhart kind of players.
Linhart, right? Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if I should get into this. This is what I'm wrestling with. Do you have to? And you do this thing sometimes. It's been a while. Like, oh, Christian Pulisic, he's got to earn those tattoos. He's not that guy. He hasn't done enough. He's got to earn that hairstyle. You shouldn't wear that hairstyle. You got to earn the right to wear that hairstyle. Do you have to earn a right to be a troll on the level of David Ochoa? Because I'm not sure the dude's earned it yet.
I don't think when it comes to being a troll, I don't think you have to earn it. You just have to be willing. Willing to take the blows.
Willing to take the blowback.
Willing to take the fines. Willing to take the hate. Because for a goalkeeper to be that level of troll, yeah. You got to think what a goalkeeper is. He is a sitting target for 90 minutes from 20 yards away for every fan that hates him. That's balls, dude. Like, to step up and be that level of troll as a keeper.
That goal for Montero was ruled a goal for Montero. How is that a goal for Montero? It can't
be, right?
In what world? I don't know. It was.
That has to change. I've never seen that given like that.
It hit the post. It's not a shot on target. It wouldn't go in if it didn't hit David Ochoa's back. There's no way that's a goal, right?
Are they saying it had that much spin that his backspin is going to just come back if it hadn't hit him?
I don't know. That's what I saw. It's a small thing. Obviously, the first goal was not Ochoa's fault, but Aaron Herrera, I don't know why you're trying to clear the ball with the outside of your foot in your own box through the middle of the box. Like, what is that? Yeah,
But you want him on the national team.
No, I think he can round into a nice player. That doesn't mean that's who he is. RSL.
What about Justin Glad? Do you think Kenny Kane's good? Is Justin Glad good enough for Kenny Kane?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know. He's kind of there. Seem to be these guys who get to a certain level, they get a little buzz, and then if they don't really leap like right away, they sort of settle into, oh, he's just a fine player.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like Corey Baird. It's kind of like. Remember, Shea Salinas was one of the best players in MLS, I think, that never really got to be a... Because he's good for MLS. Right. And just there's those guys that are just top right there.
Chris Mueller is a good example. Now, Chris Mueller fell off the table production-wise after he signed his contract. Let's not beat around the bush. He signed the Scottish contract, and he was, like, mentally out. I think that's a factor. And by the way, if you want an idea of how good the Scottish League is, you know that Christian Ramirez is tearing up the Scottish League right now. Did you know
legit.
That?
Legit. He's like a rock star right now over there, you know. Ian Harkes is just tearing it up too.
Yeah, it's not the strongest league, so it's just a point.
Let's say, Christian Ramirez was a decent player in MLS too, though. Let's not say like he was terrible here and he went there and he's great. I mean, he was good here.
Yeah, there's lots of play. Look, Bob says CJ Sapong was kind of that player too for a little while. He won a rookie of the year, bounced around. Is a good player, and Nashville would have been worse without CJ Sapong, but yeah. Teal Bunbury, maybe. Andrew Farrell. Andrew Farrell's kind of that guy, too. Very good player for New England, but nobody's calling for him to be on the national team at this point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so maybe Justin Glad just falls into that realm. Yeah. I don't know. He's younger, though. So.
Maybe. So Portland gets the MLS Cup final. It is on turf, which is not ideal. Lots of people complaining about that. But man,
you'll give it up for the atmosphere.
The atmosphere
you'll
is
give
off
it up
the
for
charts.
The atmosphere.
It is off the chart. I'm excited to get out there. It's gonna take me like 3 days just to get to Portland, but I'm excited to get to that. I've never seen a
Volkswagen bus. What do you
mean? No. I'm exaggerating for effect. It's just a long flight, and you get in when you get in, and then on the way back you've got to stop and
yeah. We narrowly avoided playing a game at Yankee Stadium, folks.
We did. A lot of people wanted to see that for the chaos. If you're rooting for chaos, that would have been the chaos choice. Would you have been...
What do you think about... Well, never mind. I probably shouldn't go down this road. You got... Portland's a hub of political ideals being demonstrated, and you have New York City FC fans, which have some of them have a reputation for being a certain style.
Do they?
There could be a bit of a clash here, like next Saturday.
You know what? There's a certain segment of NYCFC fans who don't have to worry about travel because they're already in Portland fighting against Antifa. So
already on watch lists. Can't get on a plane.
That's not appropriate. I know some very...
Damn, dog, that's inappropriate.
I know some very nice NYCFC fans. Shout out to the Cooligans. Hopefully I get the chance to see the Cooligans in Portland. They're in England watching the games on like 4 in the morning or
and
whatever
there's some
it is.
That are on a first-name basis with Merrick Garland.
that's not who we're talking about anymore.
Oh, my bad.
We moved on. You're not supposed to, do that. All right. Any other bit? I've heard that there are no new reviews on Apple Podcasts.
That's
so
on you all.
We need to ask you as a Christmas gift for us, or for a December nice thing to do for Jared. to please go over and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Do we want to give them some more words to use? Anything?
Ooh.
I'm thinking like Yule, but not Jackson, the other kind.
Yes.
Maybe. Yuletide. Yuletide. Use the whole thing. Yuletide. Do it official.
Do we want to go all like holiday themed?
Yeah, I think a holiday theme makes sense, right? Let's do
it. In that case, I would love to get the word mistletoe in there somewhere.
Okay, mistletoe is a good word. I like this idea of combining some of the older pre-Christian traditions.
How about, can we get the word nog in there somewhere?
Oh, you got to get a nog in there.
Get some nog. Why is Nick not happy with the word nog?
All my words and I'm putting in the chat. You're not even reading it.
I am not reading it. You're right.
Okay, stop. You have a microphone and you are a part of this show. Get your ass on the show.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
So we don't have to do this thing where you get mad. Right,
we got
about
nog. We got mistletoe. We got Yuletide.
Yuletide. What else? What else is in there?
One more, Nick. This is all yours. Whatever you want, buddy.
I feel like these are all Charles Dickens
words. By the way, Morgan, who's in the chat, should we put something in there for our Jewish friends?
Oh, sure. I don't know enough. Dreidel? We can do dreidel.
Dreidel.
Dreidel's a good one, right? Menorah. Menorah's a great word. I like menorah. It just sounds cool.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, you got your words, folks. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
And please.
Give us
anything holiday themed.
Christmas review over at Apple Podcasts. Hook us up. I think what was the number last time we checked? 250 something, right?
253. We're still there.
253. All right, let's get up there. Let's climb the charts. All right, we did not talk about Americans Abroad. We didn't get into the fact that Weston McKinney didn't play. Pulisic came off the bench or did not play. I can't remember. Did not play.
I saw Josh Sargent missed a sitter. Shocker.
I don't have any words left. I try not to be too mean about it. He's not a national team player right now.
Listen, you have a radio show. I don't, so I'm gonna be like, that dude's trash.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know if he is trash, but he's playing like it.
He's playing like trash. Sean says Pulisic got 18 minutes at the end of that match. What else? Anybody else?
He started midweek during the Champions League, so.
Yeah,
he started midweek. If I remember correct. He was a bigger sub. So
he's been playing. He's been playing. He played. He played that false nine position, and then last weekend he played in his usual spot. All right.
So,
any other business? Any other things to get out there before we leave?
Not for me, sir.
That is it. If you have not joined us at the Patreon, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow, you get access to the best bonus show, which is sometimes a soccer thing. Also with games, plus life things and pop culture, and Morgan comes on.
And we're still targeting December 19th for the wives on the bonus show doing Newlywed Game, I believe.
Are we doing that? Okay, that's okay.
That is something we talked about.
I need to drop hints on that. That's a reminder for me. We are doing a Newlyweds game with our wives for some reason, and that's the thing we're going to do on the 19th. Yes. I think, yes. Okay.
Only on the bonus show.
Only on the bonus show. So the best soccer show. The best bonus show is what you get access to, plus the Slack, which is going so fast and so furious. It's hard to keep up sometimes, but the besties are having a good one with it. What was the most recent thing that we got into over there at the Slack?
Oh, my Lord. The Slack's been going crazy, dude. I can't even tell you, man.
There's a lot of travel stuff in there.
Yeah, people are making plans for Portland right now, trying to meet up. So, I mean, there's been a bunch of stuff over there. I was defending the honor of something today, and I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah, you got to step up to defend. There's always music stuff in there, stuff that goes right over my head, people talking about
shows. It was someone saying that Angels and Airwaves is better than Blink-182. Like, what the hell is that?
I have no opinion on that.
I had to come in and defend the honor on that.
We also had a Joseph Martinez sighting this week from one of our besties.
In
the wild?
In the wild?
In person? In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Tell me it was at a strip club.
Joseph Martinez was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
You all need to read a Slack closer.
Oh, my God. Is there a story here?
Allison was at the doctor, and Joseph was in the office.
Okay. Oh, I know. She saw that jersey. She saw actually him, too?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe Zlatan's jersey's hanging in that one.
Yeah,
that place. Dude,
Allison.
That
our bestie Allison has the orthopedist to the stars. Yeah, it's wild. She's like got the fanciest knee doctor on the planet. All these famous people. Get it done. Get it done, son. All right.
Gotta hit the Slack. It's hopping.
Yeah, there it is. Go do that. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. All right, that's it. That's a fun one. We'll be back next week with more. See you then. Bye.
What have you done for me lately?
Danger zone!
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, it's incredible!
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Oh, baby!
You feel respect for the Gegner. It was that.
Oh,
cool.
Here we go, saucing him up. Hit him, hit him. What, what? Who asked those questions?
I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.
What are we doing?
Get out of here! Please, I'm on the floor!